He is risen.
He has risen indeed.
I knew a few of you would know that line. I learned that from my grandparents. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, a day when we take extra time to remember that you didn't just go into the grave, but you came out of the grave. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that you've given us a hope, a living hope. And I ask that you would also just help us to learn something from your word today that we can put into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was thinking a few things here about Christ. And I was thinking, hopefully, we believe all these things. Number one, he was innocent, completely without sin. He went outside the city, and he went up Golgotha to bear his cross for you and I. He died, and I like to include this part, and the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, making the way into the holy place available to mankind. And he also came out of the grave 3 days later. I'm hoping we all can say we believe that. But I was pondering something. It's in James chapter 2. It says the demons believe. And it says they also tremble. Saying they have a faith that believes in who Jesus is. But yet, it didn't change their actions. And in James, it's talking about how as Christians, it's not enough just to say we believe, but it should impact the way we live. And so when I think of what Jesus did, I think, man, there's so many people around the world over this last 3 or 4 days, lots of people remembering about what Jesus did. And I think many people believe that he did that. But the question is it impacting how we live? Because if it's not impacting how we live, then we're, and James was saying, the demons were a little further ahead because they even trembled. They were one step further ahead than some who said they believed. But we don't want to just believe and tremble. We want it to impact the way we live our lives. And so I wanted to look in Hebrews 11, because in James it was saying that there was a problem with their faith. And we know Hebrews 11 is all about faith. And I want to focus specifically on Moses. It's interesting here. Moses 11, verse 24. Because Moses was before the time of Christ, and yet it said he greatly valued the reproach of Christ. It's interesting. It says here in verse 24, it says, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. This was faith. Moses had faith. And I think this is the same kind of faith we need to have. Right? He was willing to let go of being in Pharaoh's household, right? He was called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the honor that this world had to offer, and yet he was willing to forsake it for the reproach of Christ. That's faith. Jesus did the same thing. He was up on a high temple one day, and he could have had all the honor of the world too, but he chose to forsake it. It says here that Moses also, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, to satisfy his flesh. That's faith, because there's something there that can satisfy right away. But rather he chose to put that off, the temporary put off, because he looked for something greater. In the same way, Jesus was tempted in the same way. His flesh wanted that. He was hungry, and there was a temptation to turn a stone into bread, but yet he put it off. And then we see the last thing here. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, the world's wealth. And Jesus did the same when he saw all the kingdoms of this world, but he did not bow. We also, I think, are called to not just believe that Jesus came and died and rose again, but it should impact how we live. What are we living for? This is the kind of faith that we need to have, not just mental assent, but something that impacts how we live. What are we living for? Are we living for the temporary? Maybe for the honor that we can get in this world? Are we living for the temporary pleasures that come through pleasing the flesh? Are we living for trying to get as much as we can in this world? All of these things are passing away. Moses endured, it says, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And it says that he esteemed the reproach of Christ as greater riches. Do we esteem the reproach of Christ? Do you value being maybe looked down upon, lied about, made fun of because you're a Christian? Do you value that? There's an eternal reward for those that esteem that as greater riches than the things that we see. But there's a test there within all of us. We want to be accepted often by those around us. We want to be able to just fit in. But are we willing to go a different way? You know, we see the love of God was manifested when Jesus came on the cross and he died for us. We see his mercy. But it says, in view of God's mercy, the willingness that come and take the place of sinners and forgive us, he urges us to become a living sacrifice. Are we willing to partake of his sufferings daily, take up our cross daily? In Hebrews 13, it talks about the reproach of Christ as well. Hebrews 13, I'm going to start in verse 10. It says, we have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the body of those animals whose blood was brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He went outside the city gate. Therefore, let us also go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Are we willing to go outside the camp? What does that look like? Are we willing to go outside the world? Are we willing to go outside? I'm going to say, there can even be an aspect of just the Christendom, where people claim to be Christians and they kind of do the outward correct things, but it doesn't actually really impact their heart, their desires, their decisions, the way they set their course for their life. It's just something they just add on, but it's not their life. Are we willing to go outside of that religiosity? Because there's a suffering that will come. Jesus did. He went outside the camp. It says, verse 14, for we have no continuing city but we seek the one to come. Are we seeking the natural, the temporary, what we can see? Are we seeking a heavenly kingdom? Are we seeking the new Jerusalem, a spiritual Jerusalem? Are we seeking something eternal? We can so easily get deceived. The things of this world that are passing away, we see that. It's right there. What are we seeking after? Because I think we're called to have a faith that goes deeper, that it impacts the decisions and the way we walk now, that we would live for a different kingdom than the natural kingdom. In Matthew 5, it's a really simple verse, part of the Beatitudes, right at the end there. Verse 10 says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What kingdom do you want? When we're together as believers, we can often encourage each other, and I think most of us would say, "I want this heavenly kingdom." But the test comes when we're out about going about our everyday business. Is our mind renewed? Are we leaning fully upon the Holy Spirit to help us in our time of need when the different tests and temptations come our way, so that we can make decisions that line up with this desire that we're seeking a heavenly kingdom? Because there's a good chance there's going to be some persecution that will come. It might be small, it might be bigger, but there's going to be something. All who desire to live godly, it says, will suffer. Right? All who desire to live godly. All who are living for a heavenly kingdom. They'll think it's strange. The unbelievers, and even those sometimes, even some of those who profess Christ's name, will think it's strange the way we live our lives and the decisions we make if we are really seeking a heavenly kingdom. And so, I guess that was kind of been my thought. There's so many people that get so excited about this time of year. Church attendance is through the roof on a weekend like this. Multiple services, which is awesome. Chance to share the good news. That's fantastic. But the question is, does it change the way we live our lives on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday? What are we seeking to live? It says in Hebrews 10 that Jesus... Let's turn there. Hebrews 10, 19. This is about how Jesus made a way. The veil was rent from top to bottom. God did it. That's why it started at the top. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest," or the most holy place, "by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us." He's our forerunner. He's the first one. Right? "Through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And so I was thinking, are we living in the most holy place? That's what he made available for us when he went to the cross and when he came out of the grave. He made available to us to live in the most holy place. Are we following after him as our forerunner? Are we taking up our cross as well and living in the most holy place? Because to live in the most holy place is not possible if you're living for self, and if you're living for this world, and if you're living to get as much as you can out of the temporary. To live in the most holy place is through faith, right? When we trust what Jesus did, and when we follow after him and take up our cross. We need to follow after him. And so that's what I was pondering. I just was thinking, do we value the reproach of Christ? There's a cost to be paid when you value that reproach of Christ. In the eyes of men, they're going to look down on you. And they look down on Jesus too. But there's a tremendous value in seeing this eternal kingdom that we're living for. That's the city that we should be seeking.